Morning. Is that me? Yeah. I think just briefly, one of the things about the General Assembly that I kept hearing time and time and time again is that we, as a denomination, we're really bad about speaking negatively. All we do is talk about decline. And where's the stories of actually God moving and God actually on the move and working in people's lives? And I mean, typical Scotland. This morning we heard of £30,000 of debt being written off and somebody walking without a walker. We're like, oh, well, that's pretty good, though. I mean, come on, that's amazing. Hallelujah. More of that, Lord. You know, like, come on, like, let's get excited about what God's doing in our land. Amen? Amen. Come on, right. So our reading this morning is from the Hebrews chapter 11. I think it's going to appear behind me. We're going to read the first three verses, then we're going to skip down to the last two verses of the chapter, and then we're going to read the first three chapters first three verses of chapter 12. But it'll be on the screen behind us, so you can follow it there. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And we're going to skip down to verse 39. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against him, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Amen. Faith is this big word that we use in lots of different areas of life. And this week I placed my faith in something and it didn't work out very well for me. So I'm going to America in a week and a half's time. And yeah, lots of different places. So you have to buy a visa to get in, the visa is called an ESTA, an ESTA. So $14, and I think it's £4 administration fee. Onto Google I go, typed in it, did the thing, and got charged €65. And I contacted the ESTA people, and my application hadn't been passed on, so it might have been a scam site. So this week I've been wondering, is there going to be somebody running around the United States of America for the next how many years called Norman Afrin? At the beginning I was scared about, you know, is my identity going to get stolen? Never mind the £65, is somebody going to be, other than my dad and my grandpa and my cousin, going to be going around with the name of Norman Afrin? And it made me think, though, although they can steal my name, but nobody can steal the identity that I have in Jesus Christ. You know, nobody can steal that I've got because of the faith I have in Jesus. And faith is not something that just one or two of us can have. You know, faith isn't just something that we need the leadership team to have in church and the rest of us can just come along for the ride. But faith, we read in these verses, is something that is essential for the Christian. It's essential and it's a necessity for the Christian life. Let us hear a few verses that talk about faith in Scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God." See, faith is essential for relationship with Jesus. And one of the things that I've heard in different settings, and you might have heard it as well, is this kind of understanding that we can just conjure up faith in our heart. If you just have enough faith, then maybe you would have been healed. If you've just had enough faith, then maybe that thing wouldn't have happened. But we see here that faith isn't something that we can just, you know, today I'm going to have lots of faith, and tomorrow I might not. But faith comes from hearing the word of God. It is the word of God that invokes and it brings faith to rise up in our heart. And faith, we've just read, is a gift from God. And as I said, it comes from hearing God's word. These verses in chapter, this verse in chapter 1 of, verse 1 of chapter 11, such a beautiful and amazing illustration and definition of what faith is in our lives. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. And this word assurance, it paints this picture of a solid ground on which we stand upon. That faith is a guarantee and a support. It's something to do, like in the Greek, like a guarantee of title deeds for a future possession that you're going to have. It's sealed. You've already been given these title deeds. And by faith, that is the assurance we have for the completed work of Jesus Christ. In faith, the things that we hope for, the things that are not yet, they become our present reality. They shape our day-to-day lives. They shape how we live. They shape how we act. They shape how we speak. Faith gives substance to what is hoped for. We see in later on in this chapter, in chapter 11, in the verses we didn't read, that the writer keeps referring to people from the Old Testament time and time and time again, by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so. And we see here in verse 7 that by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. He believed in this promise that God had given. He hadn't seen the flood yet. The flood hadn't come yet. But in his present day reality, in that day where the Lord had spoke to him, he had to act. He had to act in faith, believing that what God had said was going to come to pass. See, we cannot let our day-to-day lives and our circumstances dictate the promises of God, but we must let the promises of God shape how we live in the moment. See, it would have been too late if Noah had just waited for that first drop of rain. It would have been too late. He had to act in faith, believing that what God had said was going to happen. And that's the assurance we have, this guarantee, because the word of God, it never fails. The word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Noah let the faith that he had and the hope that he had shape how he lived in that moment. And I'm sure people have walked past him and gone, "What a clown, why is he building a massive boat?" And sometimes in the natural, the things that we're doing, they look crazy. They look mental. But in faith, though, when we hear God's word, we have this understanding that the things that we hope for, that we have an assurance in them because of faith. The reformer Martin Luther said this: "Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. It is so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Faith is the assurance of the things hoped for. See, hope is confident expectation. And faith, in the Greek, you can see that it's a conviction upon hearing. It makes us act. It makes us do something. It's practical. is you're not working for it. And faith demonstrates the hope that we have. We gather here to worship God. Why? In faith, because we believe in Him. We believe in His word. I don't want to sound too cocky, but I hoped that Becca would say yes to marrying me. And I had in this hope, I had a confident expectation. Well, she did chase me for quite a long time before as well. That's not true. I chased her. And I had this hope that she would marry me. I had this hope and this confident expectation that we were gonna spend the rest of our lives together. But my faith in that hope was seen when I got down on one knee. Because I acted, I had this conviction of that hope. And this faith is also an assurance, but it's also the conviction of things not yet seen. And again, things not yet seen, you know, we can't just let the natural, and again, we see the statistics. I think the one that we've heard most recently is that the Church of Scotland is going to close in 30 years' time if it goes in this current decline. And in the natural, well, that's the trajectory then, okay. But we hope in a God that says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And in faith, we're still here looking to plant churches and do different things. Although our current circumstances dictate otherwise. But we don't let our current circumstances shape how we do church. We let the promises that God has given us through His word shape how we live our day-to-day lives. Conviction, it's the proof of the reality of things that are not yet seen. And we, like I said, we gather here in faith. And one of a really good illustration of this is communion. We gather and we take communion in faith because we believe that the Lord is going to return. We proclaim His coming in doing so. We've not seen it yet, but in faith we're doing it, and we have that hope and that assurance because He's told us. Like I said, the conviction helps us shape how we're living. It shapes our present day reality. Like I said, I'm going to America a week on Wednesday, and for the last couple of last week and this week coming, in the natural and humanly speaking, you know, I'm planning on going to the States, so I have to be prepared for that. So I tried to buy a visa, and I went and bought shorts and flip flops, and if that's not faith, I don't know what is. I'm buying my summer outfits and I'm building my life upon this reality. It's not here yet, but I know it's coming. See, when we live by faith, we build our life upon it. And we read God's promises into every reality and circumstance that comes our way. These heroes of the faith in chapter 11, they went through many difficult periods, many difficult trials. By faith, they held on to the promise that God had given them. Faith is forward-looking. We're hoping for this thing that is going to come because God has told us through His word. And faith breeds an expectation in our heart. It makes us excited, and we have an anticipation that God is going to move. And we're expecting that God will deliver. Why? Because He is faithful. He is faithful and He doesn't lie, the Bible tells us. So when we pray, we shouldn't be praying with this, a negative mentality that we can sometimes have. We should come to Him in faith, believing in the promises that He's given us through His word. And verse 2, it links the Old Testament and the New Testament together. And what the writer is saying here is that the people of the Old Testament, these heroes that he goes on to list, that like us, after the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're justified by faith. It isn't a works thing that we do. They weren't justified by Abraham leaving his land or Noah building the boat or the rest of them, but they were justified in the faith they had. the faith. Again, we read in Ephesians chapter 6, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It isn't a work that saves us. It's not trying to please God that saves us. It isn't coming along to church on a Sunday morning that saves us. It isn't doing mission, doing lots of nice things out there for the community that saves us. The only thing that saves us is having faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive us for our sins, and repenting and believing his good news. Then the writer goes on and gives us an illustration of what that looks like. He goes on and he talks in verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that was made not out of things that are visible. And again, it's showing us that just because our current circumstances may not look like what God has said is going to happen, remember that at one point there was no universe. It didn't look like there was going to be one, but because God spoke, it happened. Because there's power in his word. You see, by faith, we understand. We can't let human reasoning be what shapes us as Christians. It has to be faith that shapes our understanding. Faith and knowledge are linked strongly. See, the truth is not shaped by our faith or our experience, but our faith should be shaped by God's truth. If he said it in his word, we have an assurance and a conviction in our faith because he has said it. So what's he said? What's he said about your circumstance? What's going on? What's he said in his word for you? Again, we can't let how we live our day-to-day lives shape our faith. We can't let it shape our prayer lives. Although things may not look, like I said, the stats we have for the church in Scotland and the church of Scotland, sometimes they look pretty negative. But we can't let that be what shapes our prayer life when we come to pray to God. One of the verses that I'm dearly holding strongly to, it's like God says in his word that I will build my church, and I've already mentioned it. And I have to hold on to it. I have to hold on to it. He will build his church. He will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I have faith in that promise that he's given. And I have to let that faith shape then how I live in my day-to-day lives. I'm so happy, like Alan said, that, and for me it came out of the blue, that the Church of Scotland is now even talking about church planting and stuff. I mean, what? That's amazing. You see, the writer goes on and he talks about these heroes of the faith, and he starts with the beginning of creation, and he sets the context in which these people would live their lives and where they would demonstrate this faith. And if we had time, we could have gone through the heroes that he talks about, but we don't this morning, so we're going to jump down to verse 39. And I'd encourage you, though, when you go home, or if you switch off, just start reading the rest of chapter 11. It's really encouraging. Verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. This verse can, if we don't understand it properly, can sound a bit negative, about contradictory. And it sounds like these people of faith, that they were let down, that they had faith, but the promises they were given, they weren't fulfilled. But it's the complete opposite of that. In these verses, we read two truths. The first is that, again, that these people, that was their faith that they were justified through, that was their faith that made relationship with God. It wasn't, like I said, Abraham leaving his homeland or things like that. It was the faith they had in God. And the second is that none of them received the fulfillment of the promise given to them by God. And this word promise, although it is talking about lots of different people, in the Greek it's a singular word, promise. Well, why? Why is that? Well, because it points to Jesus Christ. It points to God's redemption plan. It points to his plan of salvation that is found in Christ Jesus. And they were given promises, and they saw them in part. Abraham, he did. He got a son. But they were given promises, and like us, our promises are ultimately fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, their faith was not in vain. Absolutely not. We don't live for this world. Scripture tells us that we're just sojourners. We're just passing through. And I love the reassurance again in Scripture we get here that the cross wasn't just a spark of the moment idea, that Jesus goes, you know what, I think the cross would be a good idea. I've tried everything else and everything else has failed. No, it was promised. Before the foundations of the earth, Christ was crucified. Salvation was always the plan. The cross was always the plan. And the writer goes on to say that it's better for us. And what he's pointing to here is the superiority of the Christian revelation. Now, that isn't me talking about a pride that we get because we're Christians. But what it's talking about is that we now have a relationship with God in the new covenant that we didn't have in the old covenant. That because of Jesus Christ, he has been the fulfillment of the law. We have the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, who dwells in us. The same power who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives and dwells in us as believers. We are adopted into the family of God. Once we're justified, we become sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And there's salvation for all believers in Christ, all those who repent and believe in the good news and the gospel. In other words, by God including us, the readers, or those mentioned in the Old Testament, he's provided something better, but that through Christ, all God's people are made perfect. So he's been talking about the faith that they had in the Old Testament, these people of faith, these heroes who, because of faith, they acted in certain ways. They built a boat, they left their land, so on. In chapter 12, he then goes on to say, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this, therefore, shows us that we are also to be people of faith who endure, who regardless of our circumstances, look, that we to hold on fast to that faith, that assurance, that conviction that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. But also, and again, this is also something I like to beat the drum for, that faith calls for clean hands and a pure heart. We read it this morning in Psalm 24, that faith calls for clean hands and a pure heart. When we're living in faith, we can't, I think Ali alluded to it this morning during worship, that we can't continue in the way we used to continue in. We have to put that old self off because we now wear the robe that has been won for us through Christ Jesus, that robe of righteousness. I think actually as well, Ali last year used these verses on Camp Sunday. And he had the illustration that it's easy to run down here if you're just running yourself, but if you have someone on your back, it's a lot harder to run. We get weighed down. It's a good example of what it's talking about here. It's so much easier to run. We can't run with endurance when we have something that clings us down, that weighs us down. We're tied. We can't get away from it. But when we come to Jesus, we have to put that old self off. Faith calls for clean hands and a pure heart. And it's those with clean hands and a pure heart that can ascend the hill of the Lord. The words endurance and set before us, it points to that just because we have faith, it doesn't mean that life is easy. There's things that we have to go through, trials and difficulties. But as I've already said, we cannot let Those trials and difficulties shape who we are and shape how we live. We are to run with endurance, push on through them because of the faith we have in Christ Jesus and his word. And like I said, in the natural, I look at the Church of Scotland, and sometimes I think, in all honesty, what am I doing here? What am I doing? Not in Wide Inch, I like Wide Inch, but what am I doing? In the natural, I've only got a job for 30 years in the natural. And if it was left up to me, I probably wouldn't be here, in all honesty. But because of the faith I have in the Word of God and the promises he's given to me and the call that he's placed in my life, although sometimes like the General Assembly can feel like it's weighing me down, I have to run with endurance and not let those current circumstances dictate how I'm feeling. Spurgeon gives this beautiful quote of what faith is. Faith is believing that Christ is what he is said to be, and that he will do what he has promised to do, and then to expect this of him. Like I said this morning, he has told us that he is going to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. He is who he says he is. And we are to expect that of him and come to him in faith. And call these promises he's given us in faith. Verse 2, we are looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If we had time, I would love to go into founder and perfecter and these words, but basically what it's telling us is it's all about Jesus. He's the beginning and the end. He's the one who's always been promised. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all because of him, and it's all for him. Let me say that again. It is all about him. It is all for him, and it is all because of him. And again, in faith, we look at sometimes the circumstances we're going through, and we're reminded here by the reader that we're to look to Jesus, we're to focus on him. And what this does is it teaches us, like I said, although someone might steal my identity in the natural and me running around being called Norman Afrin in America, nobody can steal the identity that I have been given through Jesus Christ and the completed work that he has done on the cross in his resurrection and his ascension. You see, and the cross is strongly linked to the exaltation of Jesus. The cross was not the end, for we know that the grave could not hold him. And it is an exalted Jesus who we come to in faith, crying out for his spirit to be poured out afresh on this dry and weedy land. It is this exalted Jesus that we pray to in faith and ask him to send revival to our nation, to the church in Scotland and the church of Scotland. You see, it's an exalted Jesus we come to in faith. The grave couldn't hold him. He is alive, and his word is alive. His promises are alive. And we are to press on with endurance and faith, not in fear. Yes, we're to have a reverence and know that he is holy. He is so set apart. He is the name that is above all names. But he calls us and urges us on in faith as children of his when we come to him in repentance. Have we forgotten who we are? Have we forgotten that we are the beloved of Jesus Christ? Have we forgotten who he is? He is the name above every other name. Have we forgotten what he has done and what was achieved at the cross of Calvary? These are the things that we should be holding on to when we come to him in prayer. Oh Lord, would you pour out your spirit once again in our land? Lord, would you send revival? You said in your word that you would build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail. Lord, would you move?
just going to read from Luke chapter 8, verse 49. It says, Jesus has been approached by Jairus about his daughter being unwell. And then the woman has touched Jesus' garment and she's been healed. And after this, we read, while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. You see, it was because Jesus spoke that this man could have faith for the healing of his daughter. Jesus overheard this conversation and he calls him to believe. And what that means is make an act of faith. I mean, he could have hoped that what Jesus has said was right. But by him walking with Jesus towards that house, he puts his trust in him. He moves in faith. Although the world around him had fallen apart, his daughter had just died. He heard the word of Jesus. He heard the spoken word of Jesus Christ. And we read that faith then starts to arise in our heart when we hear the word of God. And faith changed the way that this man walked home that afternoon. That walk home that was going to be in despair, in sadness, in mourning because of the passing of his daughter, because of faith in the word of Jesus Christ, this man could walk home with hope in his heart, holding on to the promises, the things that were not yet seen, the assurance he could have because Jesus had spoken. This man didn't just sit down and goes, oh, well, I hope Jesus is right. In faith, he walked home with him. And he saw his daughter come back to life. I think in finishing, I want us to do something that's a bit different. We normally have prayer ministry and that will be available at the end, but just want us to grasp something of what Jesus speaks over us this morning through his word. That will give us faith, that will increase the faith we have in our heart and change how we live in our day-to-day lives. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want us to stand and sing an old hymn that's been on my heart for quite a long time. Have you got the words, Diane? Yeah. We're going to sing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. So if you could stand and please excuse my voice. I just invite the band up as well for another song after this.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.